Mr. Steve, Bill Gradison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, you used the word stewardship. I want to make it very clear, not only that I agree with you, but just take a moment to explain what I mean by using that term. For the almost 6 years of our existence, this has meant spending money not because it's available, but because it's needed to carry out our mission. Frankly, this is an approach not always seen in this town. And it is my hope and expectation that this approach to budgeting and spending will continue well into the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Charlie Niemeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill, as you've explained, the proposed budget before us today provides for an increase in the PCLB's budget for 2009 as compared to 2008. I'm comfortable that such an increase is appropriate. Experienced staff, including expert auditors, are our most significant asset, both in terms of cost and in terms of what makes us effective. The proposed increase reflects our continued need to ramp up our staffing, which has been considerably slower than optimal, given the employment environment we have faced since inception. The PCLB looks for unique skills, and those skills are still high in demand, even considering the slowing economy. Based on our past hiring experience, it would probably not be realistic to think that we could find and hire more than the 46 additional staff proposed. While I think the overall staff increase is appropriate, the board will need to continue to consider how to allocate those staff among our programs. Today's budget may have touched the required procedural milestones to justify approval on an overall basis, but still leaves to be addressed how the board should use its resources. For example, in one significant area, the budget does not adequately analyze and provide for work that I believe we do need to do to protect investors in U.S. securities. Specifically, I continue to have concerns about the scope of our inspections of non-U.S. firms, which to date have been limited to engagements in which the firm served as the principal auditor and signed the opinion. The inspections excluded engagements to audit offshore operations of U.S.-based companies, which can be significant. The scope of this work, which the profession calls referred work, can be substantial. On an overall basis, it presents a potentially significant risk to U.S. markets. The proposed inspection budget does not address this risk, but rather assumes we will continue in 2009 to limit non-U.S. inspections to opinion work. In my view, the board will have to dedicate additional resources to cover these engagements, including not only inspection resources, but also resources from our Office of Research and Analysis. In addition, we may have many new non-U.S. inspections ahead of us, and many of those inspections will be in countries in which we have not inspected previously. As the board refines its non-U.S. inspection policy, we may well find that we need more staff in OIA than the one additional person the proposed budget assumes. I do support the overall budget proposed, though, because there are other areas of the budget that I believe provide for more funding than is required. The board has the discretion to reallocate resources among its program areas throughout the year, up to a certain limit set forth by an SEC rule. If it's necessary to go beyond those limits, the board may seek approval from the SEC to do so. Notwithstanding my concerns, I would like to express my appreciation also for the staff that worked on this, and in particular, those in our budget office, Bill Wiggins and Yas Nisagian. Your work is immensely important to our mission. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. Ben Dill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to make a statement and also ask the staff some questions about the budget. As we've heard, the proposed 2009 budget would permit the board to spend $157.6 million and to end next year with a staff of 531. The budget represents an increase in authorized spending of about $13 million, or a little less than 9%, above the 2008 budget, which was $144.6 million, and an increase of $26.6 million, or about 20%, over our actual projected 2008 spending. I support the 2009 budget and would like to briefly highlight several points. First, people are certainly our primary asset here at the PCLB. Personnel costs are nearly 72% of the 2009 budget. We set high standards as to who we will employ, particularly in the experience levels of our inspection staff. Attracting, compensating, and retaining talented people, especially veteran auditors, requires significant resources. The budget reflects those costs. Second, in the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, Congress envisioned an oversight process driven by an active and timely audit firm inspection program. In 2009, the board will allocate $69.6 million of its proposed budget, or about 44%, directly to the Division of Registration and Inspections. Other board units, especially the Office of Research and Analysis and the Office of Information Technology, use much of their resources to support inspections. Further, much of the work of the Division of Enforcement arises from problems that are first uncovered in an inspection. At $12.2 million, enforcement's budget is second only to inspections among the board's operating divisions. That level of funding for investigations and enforcement cases is an increase of about 13% over 2008 and underscores the accelerating pace of the enforcement division's work. The 2009 budget also reflects some changes in direction and emphasis. Three of those been referred to are particularly significant. First, as we've heard, the Department of Treasury Advisory's Committee on the Auditing Profession directed 16 recommendations to the PCAOB. Many of those would have far-reaching effects, and some would require potentially complex rulemaking or other steps. Depending upon exactly how the board decides to proceed, addressing the Treasury Committee's recommendations could have substantial resource impact in 2009. Particularly on the Office of the General Counsel, the Office of the Chief Auditor, and the Office of Research and Analysis. Foreign inspections are also becoming an increasingly demanding part of the board's work. The board has conducted 120 foreign inspections so far. We anticipate conducting over 45 foreign inspections this year alone, and the foreign inspections workload will only increase in coming years. In addition to the time and travel demands this work places on the inspection staff, foreign inspections increase the resources the Office of International Affairs must devote to developing and maintaining relationships with our non-U.S. counterparts. The budget also anticipates an increase in our standard-setting activities in 2009. At the most recent Standing Advisory Group meeting, the Office of the Chief Auditor outlined an ambitious agenda to update and strengthen several key auditing standards. In addition, 2009 should be the year in which the board makes real progress on its commitment, first announced back in 2003, to review all of the existing interim auditing standards with a view to deciding whether each standard should be made permanent or should be revised. This increase in standard setting activities will require the chief auditor to deploy more resources. Given these developments, and particularly the stresses on financial reporting in the current economic environment, the question might certainly be raised as to whether the 2009 budget will be adequate. It's certainly possible that factors we don't fully anticipate today will cause the board to need more resources than this budget provides. However, the budget already reflects significant growth, as has been discussed, particularly a staffing increase of 46 people over the December 31, 2008 projected headcount. Based on what we know now, this level of funding should be adequate to do our job. Finally, I just note that today's meeting is the end of a process that began way back last spring, and I want to join in thanking everyone who's worked on the budget, especially Angela Desmond, the board's chief of staff, Josh Masagian, our senior budget analyst, and particularly Bill Wiggins, the board's tireless but completely unflappable budget officer.
That's the Minnesotan coming out in your memory.
Well, I thought he claimed Wisconsin.
only by marriage.
Only by marriage, okay.
Close enough.
let me ask you about a couple of things you've touched on. First, as I think the discussion already makes clear, our budget this year is $144.6 million, but we only anticipate spending about $131 million, so there'll be a shortfall of around $14 million in that neighborhood. What accounted for that, and will it simply be repeated again next year?
Well, I guess there really are four primary areas that account for the majority of the projected underspend for this year. The largest is headcount and the timing of the headcount in terms of when it was budgeted to arrive versus when it actually arrived. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. The second one, again, is timing and relates to enforcement, which doesn't have a lot of control over certain elements of the litigation process. So, you know, we need to budget there, but there's also always going to be some uncertainty. I think that is unavoidable. Another area is travel. It turns out that we're going to underspend our budget for travel this year. And again, it goes back to where inspections is able to go. And again, there you have to budget for what you think you can do, but conditions change during the course of the year. And then the last area is just IT, which we had one or two projects that have taken a bit longer. So I think there are some elements that potentially could recur next year. Some of that is endemic to budgeting. There's no way around it. You do the best you can at the time. I do think we're getting better overall, but there's always some uncertainty. That's unavoidable.
Well, as you indicate, this personnel is such a large fraction of our total cost. These shortfalls have often been a consequence of not being able to hire everyone that we anticipated, or at least not being able to hire them as rapidly as we anticipated. Maybe along those lines, and I think several of us have referred to the projected net increase of 46 people between the end of this year and the end of next year. How many people does that mean we actually have to hire? In other words, what's the turnover assumption?
If you assume our turnover actually has been kind of changing over time, which is not surprising, but for 2009, the budget assumes a turnover rate of about 10%. So 10% of roughly 500 is 50 people, so you need to add that on top of the net increase of 48 over where we expect the end of the year. So that's 100, and that's fairly sizable, so it will be a challenge. Again, you need to budget for what you think you need.
Well, let me ask you something else along the lines of people. I mean, again, we referred in various ways to the division of registration and inspections, which is certainly our largest unit, our chief program component, and also the division of enforcement. But this budget has some fairly large percentage increases in it for some of the smaller offices, especially chief auditor's office, which would add 9 people to its current base of 17, and the general counsel's office, which would add 4 people to its current base of 11. And you can elaborate a little bit on what the thought is behind those.
Sure. Those relate to the recommendations of the Treasury Advisory Committee, and I'll let Angela provide more detail.
Well, OCAO originally had 4 openings. We had planned to add 4 people next year. Now we're adding an additional 5 to respond to the Treasury recommendations, the 4 really to be able to handle the ambitious standard-setting agenda they have, and the board's also has articulated an expectation that we do expand our coordination with other standard setters. So many of the Treasury recommendations would require standard setting or rulemaking, engagement partner, signatures, one sort of improvements to the auditor's report. There's just a number of them that will directly reside in OCA. The general counsel had one opening, and then they're adding three more. Virtually all of the Treasury recommendations will require some legwork from the general counsel's office. Adding these 3 people will allow the general counsel to dedicate resources to a rulemaking unit, which can assist the other divisions and do the work necessary for rulemaking. It also will be able to have the resources to provide additional support in interpretations of the independent standards.
Well, Well, thanks. I guess I alluded to those two in my statement, and I just wanted to hear you all elaborate on it, because I think those are important points. As we get into these Treasury recommendations, a lot of that rulemaking work, the technical part of it, will fall to the General Counsel's office, and I think they're going to need some more people dedicated to that. And I see a, kind of a boom in our standard setting activity. There's kind of a backlog of things we said we would do in the Chief Auditor's office, and I think they're going to need more people to do it. But let me ask you about one that maybe isn't in quite as happy of a position, and Charlie Niemeyer referred to this in his statement. If I understand correctly, the budget only provides one person for the Office of International Affairs, and I see them as also in a growth area. I mean, as we do more of these foreign inspections, it puts more pressure on them to deal with and negotiate with other standard setters. So this IFBR, the International Group of Audit Regulators that we're a member of, seems to need to be consuming more and more of our time to interact with them. The office runs a forum here in Washington every year for audit regulators from around the world. And it seems to me there's a real risk that we're not going to be able to accomplish our inspection goals, not because we don't have the inspection people, but because international affairs won't be able to negotiate the foundation.
It will be challenging, there's no question. OIA is actually increasing by two next year. They have one opening that they've put off filling, and then we're adding additional person. And the office has already initiated work in a number of the countries where we expect to do inspections next year. But again, we acknowledge that it's going to be a challenging road for them, and if we need more resources, we'll find a way to get them to them.
Because I guess, as Charlie also noted in his statement, we do have some ability to reallocate resources within the budget. And again, I think they might be a candidate for that. A lot has been said about the Treasury recommendations. Let me just ask you about one thing. One of the recommendations aimed at us is that there be established what the committee calls a National Fraud Center here at the PCAOB. And of all the recommendations, that strikes me as the one that's likely to have the biggest resource impact, because well, they don't spell it out in detail. Presumably it means people and maybe facilities too. What's in this budget with regard to the National Fraud Center?
Do you want to go ahead? All right.
Well, we can both answer this one. There's a provision in the budget to hire one individual probably mid-year to help the board. The board's going to be doing some work in the first half of the year, thinking about the scope, the reach of the fraud center, conversing with the SEC and other stakeholders. Probably mid-year, tentatively, we're planning to hire an individual to help develop a blueprint for the fraud center and then be able to lead it. Other resources probably would be added in 2010.
Yes, if that were to really get going, I mean, I think it would have a significant impact. At least could potentially have a significant impact. Well, let me ask you this year's version of a question I think I've asked every year about the budget. And it relates to an event that may happen 36 days from today, if I'm counting right. There's a provision in the Sarbanes-Oxley Act that requires all auditors of registered broker-dealers to register with the PCAOB. And I think we've had estimates that could add several hundred, maybe even more than that, firms to our registration rolls and potentially to our inspection workload. The SEC has delayed that requirement from taking effect, I guess, each year that we've been here, but at least as we sit here today, that's going to take effect on January 1st, 2009. What's in the budget to deal with these broker-dealer auditors?
Consistent with prior years, the budget doesn't have any particular resources to begin to undertake that. I think the general expectation is that we would need to reallocate funds if it would happen, but in all likelihood there would be some type of advance notice so that it probably would end up in the subsequent year's budget, which would be 2010. And that's how we've approached it in prior years.
So I guess our budget assumption is that they'll delay that requirement.
That's correct.
Yeah. And if they don't, then
back to the drawing
board. Back to the SEC, I guess. Okay. Again, there's also been some reference to the annual and special reporting program, which is supposed to take effect this year. isn't there, I think that's supposed to, in effect, be cost-free. In other words, it's supposed to generate fees that cover the cost of the program. What does the budget assume about those fees?
You're right that the fees get offset against our budget, but under the statute, the way that it works is that those fees are applied to the subsequent year. So if the annual special reporting commences mid-year 09, any fees that we collect during that year would be applied to 2010.
So that projection will be made in next year's budget?
That's correct.
Let me just ask you about one last area. Again, there's been some reference to by others. As I understand the underlying budget materials, or the supporting budget materials, it envisions that in 2009 we're going to begin inspecting what are called substantial role firms. That's R-O-L-E, not R-O-L-L, which are firms that don't actually sign audit reports, but that do a substantial amount, I guess we define it as a 20% cutoff, of the work towards an audit, and they tend to be foreign firms. How does that impact the budget?
What we plan on doing next year is regularly inspecting approximately 5%, and that's 8 or 9 substantial role-only firms. Next year, the selection would be risk-based, and we believe that the resources in the current budget can accommodate those additional firms.
Is there something, does the budget envision something broader in terms of the expansion of what we do when we inspect a foreign firm? And many of the substantial role firms are foreign, and I think Charlie and perhaps Steve both referred to that in their comments.
I think you can expect to see a number of changes in the international inspection program next year, and I'm going to let George jump up and down and correct me if I don't get this right. First, we will be doing a percentage of substantial role firms next year, which we haven't done. Second, we're collecting information on referral work from the largest firms, and we'll be back to the board actually to talk about the approach on how to risk focus and do a little bit more in the referral work. My understanding is that the current budget allows for at least 100 weeks of full-time FTEs and up to 200 and possibly 240 weeks of FTEs to do referral work, depending on how our inspection schedule for international firms works out next year. So we have put some resources in to do broader work in that area. We're plan to work more closely, the two divisions. The division will be working more closely with our Office of Research and Analysis to make that, to allow AURA to provide better and more referrals to the inspections division when it goes out to do international inspections. So there are some moving parts. We think we've got the resources right, but particularly on referral work, we'll be back to the board to talk about the scope of it.
Well, that's the point I was going to add. I think there are moving parts here, and you know, the board is still evolving its philosophy as to how we ought to look at these foreign funds. There's so much here. 100 more questions could be asked, but I appreciate you bringing out these points, and that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Dan. There's no further discussion. We'll put the question to the board.
Mark, can I just make a point to it? We talked a lot about the additional expenditures here. I think this is a tight, conservative, responsible budget. But for the record, could you put on, could you tell us a little bit about some of the cuts that you've made or some of the decreases in the budget? Because you have gone through a very thorough analysis of all the programs. And while we're spending in areas which I think we also support, I also want to associate myself with Charlie's points and Dan's points and others about international inspections. I think it's important that you give us a little bit of an overview in terms of some of the areas where we've reduced those expenditures.
Certainly. we gain more experience every year in terms of how much things cost or the volume of activities we're going to undertake. Travel for a lot of divisions and offices has started to firm up in terms of what we really expect. So particularly for a lot of the smaller offices, I think we have a better sense than we did in the past. Now, certainly things could happen which could cause increases, but there are adjustments made to the volume of travel in a variety of offices. In addition, and this is partially a function of headcount, and it's mundane but substantial, which is since we haven't had as many staff on board, we haven't frankly needed as many office supplies, and it turns out that we've had a substantial reduction there. That's a thing that doesn't frequently get talked about, but it's dollars. Another area, and there, you all have discussed this before, but it's making sure that our relocation activities are appropriate, because it can be, those can be expensive, so there have been some adjustments made there as well. So those are a few of the big ones. I guess I'd also say that overall IT is relatively flat relative to the 08 approved budget, as is travel, even though we're projecting to underspend this year. So it is as much areas where we've been able to come down as it is kind of decrease the potential variance. We just have a better sense now of what to expect.
Thank you.
There's no further discussion. I'll put the question to the board. All those in favor of approving the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. The motion is carried. That concludes our agenda today. If there's no further business, the meeting is adjourned. We will now rise from the open meeting and reconvene in the closed meeting here right at 10:30.